Hold on. Well, Kufar Akbar, everybody, hi. This is another edition of Radio Free Kafiristan. This is a radio program dedicated to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence. Well, you have a on-screen banner which says it's a banner. Uh-oh. What am I doing wrong already? This is an example of a banner. There. Thank you, Adam. Okay, back to what I was. There's always something, you know. There's always something I'm doing wrong here. Okay, this is indeed a radio program to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence for both of these faiths in order to arrive at the truth that leads us to this end. Thus go I. Shalom, peace, and blessings. Again, this is your humble host, Eric Thekifer, coming to you live from the cavernous depths of the Kafir Cave in Dar al-Harb, Kafiristan. We are here every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and in the center of the universe in Jerusalem. It's midnight. Go to bed. Listen to us in podcast. I am live casting again from StreamYard onto two Facebook pages, Crossing the Crescent Discussion Group, and also the other one, the Radio Free Kafiristan Facebook page. And then we're also broadcasting onto YouTube. Adam, please check for me. I think I checked the right box. So if somebody tell me that I didn't check the box, but I think we are live casting on YouTube also, where people can chime in. All of these shows are available on the website, thecrossingthecrescent.com. Remember, a Kafir, somebody who is not heed the beliefs, you are good on YouTube. Thank you, Adam. Does not heed the beliefs and prescriptions held by the religion of Islam. This is from the new Encyclopedia of Islam, not the old one, not the revised one. Oh, this is the revised one, but it's the 2001 edition. I don't know if they've gotten the politically correct one done yet, but I'm sure we can expect that sometime soon. And nobody's going to be able to say boo about it anymore because of what's going on in this scary little world we're living in. Remember, Kafiristan is the house of war, Dar al-Harb. This is the lands not ruled by Sharia, unlike those other bastions, utopian bastions of peace like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, etc. All those suckistans. You got your Sharia, and you can live with it. But don't bring it here. If you want to call into the show on the Global Patriot Radio Network, it is area code 319-527-6706. Area code 319-527-6706. All right, tonight's topic we're going to get to, but we're not going to get to it right away. Because on the way home today, I was listening to a news conference, and I don't think I've been this mad in a real long time. And I normally do not come here to vent, but sometimes I do. In the earlier days of the show, I used to have a monologue where I would vent for a good 15, 20 minutes. And I don't know if I'm going to be venting for that long today, but I saw something on TV today that just got me going. And I got home and I started nugging out all kinds of notes, things that I wanted to talk about, and the more and more I started nugging those notes out, the madder and madder I got, because things are just upside down. It is crazy what is going on. So today when we get to it, we're going to get to the topic where Jesus, where does Jesus say, I am God, worship me, or worship me, I'm God, or whatever. I mean, whatever the tired old question is. I thought we'd settle that once and for all. I've got a couple of messages on Facebook saying, nowhere, okay, duh. Then tell me what, I mean, we'll discuss that when we get to it. And what brought that up was the discussion that we had on Sunday when we had that fellow from, well, he said he was from Indonesia, said it was 5 o'clock in the morning in Indonesia. And then I see on Facebook, he says, well, I just debated Bob the Builder at Speaker's Corner. I'm trying to think, well, how does that work out where if you're in Indonesia and then 10 hours later, you're debating Bob the Builder in London, England? That didn't make a lot of sense, but hey, we don't need to know the whole truth because we're Kaffirs after all. Okay, so what did I hear today? I heard a news conference given by the former ambassador to the United Nations under Barack Obama, Susan Rice. Now, I call her Susan Benghazi Rice because if you remember this lady, she was the lady that went on all the talk shows right after the incident that happened in Benghazi, Libya. This is where you had our consulate there, if you want to call it a consulate, sparsely guarded, was attacked by a bunch of jihadists on September 11th, 2012. Right before the election of 2012, by the way. And she got on all these talk shows saying that, well, it was this movie. This movie is what caused this. This guy, this producer, this guy that made the movie. And they even put this guy back in jail for doing it. It wasn't his fault. He's the one that took the fall for it. But she got on there and lied through her teeth to the American people, blaming this entire incident on a movie. Now, if you remember this is what caused Barack Obama to go hide in Joe Biden's basement for 40 days in the run-up to a national presidential election. He did not give a news conference. He did not give a news conference for 40 days, prior to the presidential election. For 40 days, we didn't hear boo from the bear. And we were supposed to just accept it, just believe it. And, you know, what really gets me going here when I start thinking about that, this is the guy, you know, Mitt Romney, the guy that says that we should be impeaching President Trump. This is the guy that ran against Obama in 2012 and lost to this. The guy was hiding in Biden's basement for 40 days and he still lost to Obama. And we're supposed to believe what, you know, Mitt Romney has great advice for us. Shut up, Mitt. Go back came from, was it Massachusetts or where did he come from? Actually, he's a senator for, I don't know, I think maybe Panama, Utah. There we go. He's a senator for Utah now. But anyway, okay, so what got me going today was Susan Rice. I'm not sure what her new position is, but she is talking about we as a country, we need to heal, we need to be unified, and we need to do more to unify our country. So therefore, we need to spend another trillion here, trillion there. You know, I mean, after a while, you know, it does add up to real money, but what's $1 trillion? And we need to do this. We need to do this to help out people of color, is what she said. That was exactly what she said. And I'm trying to think, okay, so if you want to unite people, but then you're saying that you're going to only spend money on people of color, that does not sound to me like you're interested in uniting anybody. And a lot of it made sense. You know, you want to help people that have been infected by COVID. You want to help people that have lost their jobs. But is just pouring and throwing money at this thing the thing to do, the way to go about this? And the obvious answer is no, it's not. It never is. Socialism never works. And this is exactly what she's been proposing. If you look at the war on poverty, this has been going on for 60 years. And guess what we still have in the richest nation on the planet? Poverty. Maybe it isn't just throwing money at the problem. Just maybe might not be the solution. Making people more dependent upon the federal government might not be the solution to this. But you can't say anything about this. And this is what really got my chain pulled today, is because if you say something about that, you have a finger pointed right in your face. You racist. How dare you try to keep money from going to these children of color? Teach children of color all day long. I love these children of color all day long, and yet I can't talk about it. Why? Well, I'm a white guy. And everybody that she was mentioning in her little rainbow of, hey, I just want to help you, included every single ethnic group that she could mention inside of 60 seconds. And also the LGBTURSTUV, whatever the group is that they have now. But everybody else, you just sit down and you shut up. Because if you say something, we're going to silence you. And here's what when we consider people like this, this is just pure socialism is what it is. And we all know how well socialism has worked everywhere it's tried, right? Right? Don't we? I mean, it worked really well in it's never worked. It never works. Socialism and communism never work. But here's their thinking. Well, it doesn't work because, well, we weren't in charge of it. But once we get put in charge of it, well, it's going to work just fine. Don't you see? People don't get hurt by the millions when totalitarian governments take over and tell everybody else to sit down and shut up because they are different. Even though they're calling for unity, everybody, if you're different, well, then you just sit down and shut up. It's crazy, this world that we're living in. And I agree that, you know, that we ought to do as much as we can for the poor people in this country. I honestly, in my innermost soul, think that we should do that. And I put my money where my mouth is. Our church, we help out. Okay, I'm not gonna go there. But we do what we can for the poor in this country, for this poor in Cedar Rapids. But when you start talking about a federal government coming in, dictating from on high that they're going to tell us how they're going to do it, it just gets my blood boiling. Now, when we think of what Susan Boghossy Rice was doing in 2012, she's hiding the fact that they were running guns into Syria. And they tried to cover it up. But, you know, just like anything else, people sweep it under the rug. They don't say anything about it. And then when it comes to time to pay for the consequences, nobody is held accountable. But I'm told to sit down and shut up and just take it. When we think of, where did I write this down? When we think of what's happening today in our country, like, well, let's just start with Hillary's server. We were told, shut up. There's nothing there. Hillary did nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and manufacture all kinds of accusations against Donald Trump. And so they started spying on his campaign. We know that this is what they did. We know that they spied on people using the FISA warrants, the FISA courts, to spy on Trump. We know this. It's a fact. But yet, Trump's the one that's getting impeached for this. Trump's the one that's getting impeached for Russia collusion or some type of phone call that he made to a president of the Ukraine where he said, hey, you might want to look into our former vice president where he had your prosecutor fired in order to give your country, loan your country over $1 billion and had him fired when he was when he was sitting on the board with one of the most corrupt energy companies, getting over $1 million. And he, you know, this kid's a coke head. He's a meth head. And he's dragging all this money is going. But don't say anything about that now, because if you do, You're a hater. But look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're telling us down, shut up, even though we know these things. But if you do say these things, then you're a kook. When we look at the presidential election, this past presidential election, I honestly believe you look at this thing objectively. Think about this. Golly, people, think about this. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama in 2012 got 65 million votes. 65 million Americans, more than any other. Well, I guess he got 69 million in 2008. Okay. But still, that's the second highest amount that anybody in the United States had ever gotten. In 2008, he got 69 million. 2016, Hillary Clinton, 64 million votes, 2 million more than Donald Trump, but she lost Electoral College. But yet we are told to believe that Joe campaigning from his basement, I have dementia, Biden, got 30% more votes than Obama and Clinton? And we're supposed to believe that? 30% more people voted for Joe Biden. Where was the excitement for his campaign? Every single time he held some type of meeting or rally, more protesters attended or more reporters attended than people. Nobody was interested in the guy. But yet he supposedly got 81 million votes. And then this week they're trying to push through some type of legislation where they're going to make mail-in ballot or a balloting permanent. A federal government is going to mandate that. State constitutions, or the Constitution says that state legislatures are supposed to set campaign laws or voter laws, not the federal government. State, or the federal Constitution says that. Did somebody say something here in chat?
Yeah, I was agreeing with you. Yeah, I live in Texas, and we about had it. We're about ready to break away, and I don't think we're the only state that's going to do it.
Who else do you think are going to do it?
Probably all, at least some of the more red states. Oklahoma. Ohio, maybe.
Well, let's just pray it does not come to that. But back to my point here, and I appreciate your input on that. But when we start looking at all of these things that are happening in Washington, D.C., all of these dictates, 10,000 energy jobs shut down, all the federal drilling on foreign or on public lands shut down. You're going to be paying $2, $3, $4, $5 a gallon for gas here almost immediately. Sit down, shut up, and quit speaking up. And when you do this, and this is the point that I'm trying to make. I'm going to be done here in a minute. The point I'm trying to make here is when you tell people to sit down and shut up, and if you don't sit down and shut up, you're a racist. You're a bigot. You're some type of phobe. You're a hater. And every time you do speak up, you're told that's what you're told. You're going to push people to the point where they're not going to be quiet. If their only option is to start shooting people's head off their shoulders, it is you that gave them this option. But here's the problem. This is exactly what Susan Rice and her ilk want. They want this to happen because once they do that, once somebody goes crazy and does, if you remember what happened in Christchurch down in Australia, this guy that went around and killed all these Muslims, he felt that his voice was no longer being heard. Because every time he spoke up, this is what was done to him. This is what he was told. You're a racist. You're a xenophobe. How dare you say you're Islamophobe? He's called all these names. What other avenue do you leave somebody to complain and to voice their concerns, to dissent? That's what you leave them. And that's what they want. Because as soon as somebody does that, boom, they can turn around and say, look, we can't have these people have these arms. They can't, because this is what happens. And they know exactly that that's what that's going to lead to. Cure for hate speech is what they call it. is more free speech. And I can say that Susan Rice can go ahead and kiss my fourth port of contact, because I am not going to keep my mouth shut as long as I have this. Okay. I feel better. This show actually is really therapeutic. It kind of lets me get these things off of my chest. And we have the Silence of the Lambs in the panel. I didn't even turn on the comments here. Sorry. Okay. I got this. What do Muslims do? I got your email. Thank you for coming. Bailey, I see you there. Issa and Richard. Okay. Thank you, guys. And Earview from Utah. Thank you. Or maybe you were talking. I was probably talking about Romney from Utah. Okay. So tonight's topic. I'm sorry, guys. I got you all disjointed with my political rant, but doggone it, that woman just after she lied to the American people like that, had that poor show producer thrown in jail like he was. I just hate things like that. Okay, so tonight we're going to be talking about, where does Jesus say, "I am God, worship me"? Can anybody in the panel here tell me where in the Bible it says that? Does anybody want to opine on that to start us off? Give us a shot. Ben.
Nowhere.
What's that?
Yeah, that's just silly. You know?
Nowhere. I
mean, we're wanting to put words in God's mouth, and we won't do it.
Okay, well, you're exactly right. I mean, when we start talking about, okay, well, you can't tell me where Jesus says, "I am God, worship me," so therefore he is not God, don't worship him. And then Adam was correct by saying it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that.
Why did Jesus came to the earth? To say that he is God, or to do something else?
That's right, fulfill scripture.
Yeah, he came to die for our sins. We see a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that the Messiah will come to take our sins, in like Isaiah 53, and the Lord will come to the earth, Malachi 3:1. Then he came to do something else, except that he will. I am God. Worship me. He came to Jews know well Yahweh and know their God. He spoke like Yahweh in many positions in the Bible. We can go like, for example, he said in Revelation 22:13, he is the first and last. He is the same like Yahweh in the book of Isaiah. Then he didn't came to tell people he is Yahweh, because they know Yahweh. He came to die for our sins. This is the point. This is the question should be asked like that.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Whose commandments? God's commandments. Who's God?
Right.
Well, Jesus God. Hello, it's kind of a non-consequitur.
He said it, my commandments. Yep.
When I think about what you said there, John, as far as the as what was his purpose of coming, you know, his purpose wasn't coming to come to the earth and say, "Hey, I am God, come worship me." His purpose we find in John 3, not 16, but 3:17, because in John 3:16, God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him shall have everlasting, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, great. That's most famous verse from the New Testament. But a lot of people don't realize what John 3:17 says. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but
that through him the world might be saved."
Amen. There you go. So when we say who or where does Jesus say he is God, worship me, well, it doesn't say exactly that. But it does say a whole heck of a lot of things that indicate that he was God and that he is deserving of worship. And I have all kinds of verses here. And John got us started. We look at, let's see here, John 8:58, where we talk about where Jesus is telling the Pharisees. Listen to what he says. He says, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am," using the proper name of God. He is saying, "I am." The Jews recognize this. And the reason why we know that the Jews recognize this, that he was claiming to be God, because if you look in the very next verse, it says that they picked up stone him. So when he starts using the name I am, or in Revelation, he uses the name I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha Omega. Well, who claims to be the Alpha Omega? Even in the Quran, God uses that name, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God claims to use that name. In the Old Testament, we find, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus says in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So he's claiming to use the same name as God, not Jesus who said it. Well, then who said it, Steph? Now, come on. If it wasn't Jesus, who's speaking here? For Pete's sake. Read Revelation, please, before you say something like that in chat. Stephanie's in chat, and she's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And who revealed the revelation to John, Stephanie? Who was that? Not John. John didn't reveal revelation to John. Jesus revealed revelation to John. Let me read the opening passage of Revelation, just so we're not confused. Because a lot of times when people go out and do da'wah, they get confused, and they want to take certain passages out of context. So let me read this in context. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Uh-oh, it sounds like this comes from Jesus Christ. Those are the one, two, three, four, first five words. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave him to show unto his servants even the things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So this is from Jesus Christ. John gets it, but it's from Jesus Christ, who bear witness of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, so it comes from Jesus Christ. That's who it comes from. No way. All right, well, you can go ahead and say no way, but let me put it on the screen. That way you can say no way to what it says on the screen all day long. Let me put it up here. Share screen. Share screen over here. Bing. There. Now you can see my screen where it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right there. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So I don't know how you get around that. But I'm going to figure out a way. Okay, what else does he say? He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which is lost. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for ransom many. For God did not send his Son into the, oh, there's 3:17, but to save it through him. And John, okay, and Thomas said, oh, here's a good one. In John 20:28-29, and Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said to him, because thou hast seen me, you have believed, but blessed are they that see me and have not yet believed. John 14:11, believe me in that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone. The Jews are saying this now, not Jesus. The Jews are saying, they answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee, not but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Seems like the Jews got this, but people who follow Muhammad do not. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him. He had broken the Sabbath, and that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held him by his feet, and they gave him a manicure. No, that's not what it says. Matthew 28:9, it says, and they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And Luke 24:52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And there's also the passage where Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And all of his apostles said, yay, Jesus. No. And they worshiped him. So when we start talking about worshiping him, it's right there in the Bible. And Jesus admits that he is God. Right there in the Bible. Okay. Let me get that off my screen. Somebody had something to say. Go ahead.
Just for the worship part specifically, because you brought up this verse, and this is a very important verse, and it's not just one. There are almost like 820 different locations where Jesus was worshipped. This is called Shirkul Ibadah.
Called
this
what?
This is one of the major... Shirkul Ibadah.
That's not an English word.
It's an Arabic word. It's called Shirkul Ibadah.
Okay.
The shirk...
Shirk?
Or,
I know what that is.
Shirk of Ibadah, worshipping. John Isaac, can you please translate this particular word in proper English for the people? Shirkul Ibadah.
Shirk means association of another one besides God. Ibadah means worship. Then Shirk Ibadah means we get another person besides God to worship him.
Right. So if Jesus, if they accept the red words where Jesus is stating something and then people are worshiping him, then Jesus would suddenly should have said, don't worship me right there and then after every worship.
Right.
But if you see most of the occasions, he did not stop any of them. So basically what happens is Jesus was either a mushrik and doing a shirkul ibadah or he is God. That's my point over there.
Okay, well, you just need to quit making sense with that because people might get upset in the chat room. I would ask Stephanie if that was the correct interpretation of that word. What is it? Shirkul or what?
Shirkul ibadah.
Shirkul ibadah, yeah. That's, okay. Never said it in red letters. Refute. Okay. I'm not even going to pay attention to that. Okay.
So
let's
why does
jump.
It have to be in red letters? You're reading the Word of God. Why does it have to be in red letters, Stephanie?
If somebody
why?
Is worshiping him, if,
when we find it in red letters, Stephanie, then you're going to be wanting another thing. Then you're going to be asking for another thing
mm-hmm.
to where what you're doing is you're walking yourself out of your own salvation.
And
you're only fighting. You're only fighting the God that loves you.
Yeah, Frank, there is another problem over here. If somebody is worshiping him, it's not a statement. So how can Jesus say in red letters? So I said that in red letters, Jesus should have said, do not worship me. Like, they don't even listen to what I'm saying. If somebody is worshiping him, how could it be a statement? It's an act.
I would like to add something here. If we go to Acts 10, Peter, the good apostle of Jesus, was worshipped by one of the leaders of Roman, and he refused. Peter refused the worship. Said, no, don't worship me because I am just a human. If we go to Revelation 19, 10 or 9, I don't remember the exact number, John worshiped the angel and the angel refused, said, no, don't worship me. If Jesus is just a human, why didn't do the same action like Peter or like the angel? Let us ask ourselves the same question. Jesus was worshipped by many people. Even his disciples worshipped him, but he never said, no, don't worship me.
Okay.
And
yeah.
On the opposite, you can see Peter and the angel refused.
Yeah, and I would also add to that, you know, if you're going to demand, you know, exact words, you know, if Jesus was God, Jesus says, I am God. No, he doesn't have to say it exactly like that. This is what the New Testament clearly teaches, though, that he is God. And this is what I tried to explain to Alibaba, or what was that guy's name on Sunday? What was Aladdin? There we go. Aladdin, not Alibaba, sorry. Aladdin, I was trying to explain to him that I can't remember exactly what the topic was, but he says, well, you show me in the Bible where it says this. And I tried to tell him, I said, it doesn't say that, but it clearly, oh, it was over the Trinity. I said, but it clearly teaches that. And then he turns around and I cited different passages demonstrating that that's what it teaches. And then he turns around and asks the same exact question. So regardless of if you provide proof that this is exactly, what do you mean no one was worshiping? Are you kidding me? Even if you provide passages, clear passages that demonstrate your point, they're going to say there's nothing to see here, and it's insanity is what it is. And this is what I call Islam is, you know, follow. This is spiritual blindness is what it is. You have to be spiritually blind to believe what they're talking about. And here's a great thing. And Stephanie, I hope you're listening. I want you to post this in chat here. Okay, Stephanie, can you show me in the Bible where Jesus said he lived a sinless life? Where in the Bible does Jesus say he lived a sinless life? I'm waiting for that passage. Okay. And then also show me in the Bible where it says Jesus said he was born of a virgin. I'm waiting. Okay. I don't see those passages yet.
I would not be able to see them anymore.
What? No. Hold on. Adam, don't tell her that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. You're exactly right. The reason why you're not going to be able to cite them, the reason why you can't cite them is because they're not there. Jesus never said, I lived a sinless life. Jesus never said, I was born of a virgin, fulfilling prophecy. He never said that. But yet, I believe that. You believe that. Because that's what the Bible teaches, and that's the biggest difference, and that's what we're trying to show you, where you can come to this logical conclusion. Even though he doesn't specifically say what you want him to say or you demand for him to say, the Bible clearly teaches these things. He's sinless no matter. Okay, well, he never said it.
Bring up the verses from Dawn, because the verses definitely needs to see. Matthew 2:11, 14:33, 19.
All right, let me get there.
13, Mark 16,
okay, 24. Slow down. Matthew 2:11, 2:11.
Oh, I mean his comment. He has sent.
Oh, yeah. Let me post that. Yeah, let me post. That's a good idea. All right, so what is that icon there? Archie Bunker? Really? I love Archie Bunker. He's like the consummate old man. Okay, so 2:11, where it says, and they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell and worshipped him. Maybe the Greek is off on that. They couldn't have worshipped him.
He was a baby. He couldn't say no. So he was
there you
even
go.
A baby in worship. So.
Yeah, and he couldn't deny them. Okay, quit worshipping me. We won't have any of that now. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 14.
Jesus was speaking in the cradle, wasn't it, according to Quran?
Oh, my goodness. Right. So he could have said, I didn't even think about that. That's so clever. Yeah, he could have said, hey, you mushrik, quit worshiping me. What's wrong with you? Okay, 14:33.
Stephanie agreed that he spoke in the cradle. So then, Stephanie, isn't that a sign that he came out from God?
It's got to be.
See, he came from above, just like he said in the gospel. He is not from this earth. He is the second Adam, Lord Christ. That's what makes him who he is, because he came out from God.
Okay, I don't want to call you Frank, because you don't sound like a Frank.
I don't give my name because of my past, my Islamic past.
Okay, so let me call you. Let me
cover up.
Let me call you. I'm going to call you.
Frank Khan.
I'm going to call you Aisha. Aisha, you can
call me Frank Khan.
Okay.
My name is Connie. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not going to go by that name.
Okay. Connie. All right.
Frank Khan. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So here we got Matthew 14:33. This is what. Okay. This isn't when he calmed the storm. This is where Peter. Where Christ was walking on water. Okay, and then they were in the boat and did something here. Uh-oh, does it say they worshipped him? It says they worshipped him. Whoops, okay, they worshipped him.
Whoops, there it is again.
Okay, stop, okay. Who did Don? Don is like a gold mine today. Okay, so let's go.
He is. He's one of my good friends.
Yeah,
20.
He's a beautiful guy.
28:8-9. They parted quickly from the tomb with fear and joy, ring to bring to his disciples word. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and...
Uh-oh.
Okay.
They did it again. Hey, Stephanie, no one's lying to you, honey. We didn't write the scriptures. You didn't write the Quran.
We're
telling you what it says, honey.
Okay, look at what she's writing here now. He didn't know about the fig tree. What else? Oops, nope. He didn't know the hour. So all
and
of these verses, and these verses
and the
that we're
that
getting.
Story, what did he say, Stephanie? He said, have the faith of God. If you can say to this mountain, be you cast away, it will obey you. So don't stop. Finish the storyline. because at the end there, God is saying, have the God kind of faith. He is giving you, he is telling you, I'm going to give you power. Say to that mountain, be you cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. That's what you're losing. Islam is trying to take the power of God away from you. God's going to give it to you because he loves you. And when you have the spirit, he will fully trust you.
Okay, here we got John chapter 13, verse 17. And when they saw him, my goodness. Okay, maybe the Greek is wrong
actually,
there.
That's 9:38 as well. So John 13, before going to 13, we can actually go to John 9 as well. 9:38.
Okay, we were in Matthew. I'm sorry, that was Matthew. Let's see. Oh, wait a second. What's they doing there? That was Matthew. Would you say John 9?
9:38.
John 9:38. 9:38. My wife's a little bitch. She's a phone. Okay. And other head. See, other. No, but it is like you said. What did you say?
That I was saying.
Jesus
is the Son of God. 38, they worshipped him.
He said they believe on the Son of. It's the hole that just keeps getting deeper and deeper, the Son of God. And then 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he. What? He worshipped him. And, okay, John 13. No wonder I couldn't find it. Oh, there it was. I was in the wrong. What the heck is this? John 13. Let's go 13. And we get down to 13. You call me teacher, Lord. Is that right? That must be a typo. So you call me teacher and Lord, for you say, for so I am. Oh, I see what it is. Okay, I am Lord and Lord. For so I am. Yeah, and that's one that Muslims use all the time. Well, Jesus said, let's see. Then Lord and the teacher, when I've washed your feet, you also wash one another. What does it say? Here we go. So when he washed his feet, taking his garment, sat down, he said unto them, know ye that what I have done to you, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. So he's admitting who he is. Mark 16, 1. Okay, let me get back to here. Mark 16, 1. Okay, I get all kinds of notes. Eric, just so you were aware, where did you go? Aware that Ally Dean Chap was using the same arguments with Bob from Speaker's Corner, like all Dalekandists. They go off script.
Anyways, I know him. He lies right on front of your face.
Well, Steve didn't particularly care for him. Because when he showed up, look on Steve Manchie's face, it was just like it's like foul odor had just entered the room. That's
yeah, because he
what they look like.
A,
I'm not saying that he was. I mean, go ahead.
He's an agent of serpent. That's why.
Say that again?
He's an agent of serpent. You would see his debate with me on my channel. He's like a coward liar. Full stop.
Yes, he is. Very much so. We both tried to debate with him. And he wants to say something, as he's going to say something nice, and then he slaps you with his words. It's so sad.
He blasphemes. That's the problem. And he uses the text verses. If I bring up a word, suddenly all of his scholars are lying, and he is the one who will tell us the truth.
He's telling the truth. And Adnan Rashid would rebuke him, because I watched his debates, and he says, I do not agree with that substitution on the cross.
Exactly.
So even he.
Worshipped! That's another worship. Where is this worship?
This is, Luke chapter 24, verse 52.
Did we miss the mark? There was like a Mark 5:6 as well.
I got Mark 16:1, but I'll. 5:6. I think on my
Mark 6 is also where people worshipped him.
Okay, Mark 5:6. Mark 6, and when he saw Jesus far, he ran and he worshipped him. again. Oops, it happened again. So when it says that Jesus did not say, or we ask, did Jesus say, I am God, worship me? No, he didn't say that. But what does the New Testament teach us? It teaches clearly that he is God incarnate. He is the Son of God. And it clearly teaches that they did worship him. And he didn't stop people from calling him the Son of God. As a matter of fact, if you read the passage that I was going over on Sunday that I didn't want to offend, but when Peter says that I'm not going to allow you to go to Jerusalem and die for our sins, or I'm not going to allow you to go to Jerusalem and die, Jesus turns around and says, get behind me, Satan, because your eyes are fixed only like that which Muhammad would do. Deny that this is what I had come to do, which is to die for the sins of man. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was his purpose. So this silly question, did God say, or did Jesus say, I am God, worship me? No, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Okay.
By the way, it will be an oxy something. If people are worshiping him and he has to say, worship me, that will be an oxy something in the English terminology. So you fix the terminology.
Oxymoron. You can say it. It's okay. We say it.
Let's see. Beware of bondage. You are making up your own Islam. You are lying against Muhammad. Now, I think, oh, you say, yeah,
that's Stephanie.
Yeah, okay, I was going
to
say, no, wait a second, wait a minute.
Slow down there.
Yeah, I'm trying to do too many things here at one time, and, you know, I get myself in so much trouble when I do that. All right,
well,
let
that's
me.
That's why we're here.
And I appreciate that. I used to do this, believe it or not, I did this show. As I had this show on Sundays. I took the show over about 3 years ago, and I was doing it on Sundays, and I would just do this show by myself. I'd have an occasional guest on, or somebody would call in, but I would sit here and I would talk for like an hour and a half straight. And I tell you what, in order to put something together every single week to talk for an hour and a half straight, you got to have a lot to say. Well, soon as my show producer, Kel Fritzy, she died in August of 2019. Well, she had a show on Tuesday night, so I wanted to get away from Sunday afternoons and just go to just do it one night a week. Well, they didn't have somebody to fill the Sunday afternoon show, and they asked me, well, can you just kind of hold it down for a couple weeks? So this is when I started getting more people involved in that, and the next thing you know, we got everybody and their brother coming to the Sunday afternoon show, which is absolutely fantastic. And now I'm getting more people to come to the Tuesday evening show, which makes it absolutely fantastic because it makes this a whole heck of a lot easier for this kaffir. Okay, and we went through this, where did Jesus get worship? God is the shepherd. There's all kinds of different things. The great I am.
Can we show one more when he was resurrected and people worshipped?
Yeah,
Acts
go.
Acts 1:25-26.
Acts, which would be actually Luke part 2,
yes.
Or book, two, so second or Luke.
Matthew 28.
Okay.
20.
Yep. All right, slow down. Okay, John, just hold on. John, save that one. Where'd you say to go? Or Acts what?
Acts 1, 25 and 26.
25 and 26.
Chapter 1.
25, 26. To the place in his ministry, the apostleship from Judas fell away, might go in his own place, and they gave lots for them. Matthias, no. What did you say? Acts? Am I in Acts? Acts what?
Hold on. Maybe I'm wrong. Go to Matthew 28:17 and let me look for it again.
Okay, Matthew 28. Got to go down to 28, I guess. 28:17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Uh-oh, right there. Look at there. Not everybody believed that he deserved to be worshipped. There were some of them that were there that doubted. Don't be looking at these people over here that are worshipping him. Look at these people who doubted. This would be the same as pulling a Kenny Bomer and going to, where was it? First Chronicles. Where's Chronicles? Or Corinthians, not First Chronicles, idiot. 15 and saying, going down here. Now, if Christ is priesthood, the faith of Christ is not be priest, yea. And let me see. It says, for if the dead, then they also, okay. For, it says, where does it say this? I have grace and labored in vain. Where people doubted. Now, if Christ is preached, the dead, neither Christ has been rise. And if Christ has not been rise, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also in vain. You are found. Oh, boy. How did that argument go for him? But I remember reading that, and he says, look, there are people doubted. There was people that doubted that Christ. Okay, but now hath Christ been raised from the dead? Nope, that's not where it came. Where people doubted that he was risen from the dead, but they did not doubt, going up here to where it says, maybe I got the wrong. Is it first? No, it is right here. Obviously, Christ. Oh, that Christ died for our sins. They didn't deny that he died. This is where we were arguing that this is what it was about. We were discussing the crucifixion, which somebody here in chat completely denies. The Bible doesn't teach that he was crucified. It says Christ died for our sins. He says that he died. I mean, hello. So it is there. Now, what was the verse, Adam? Acts what? Did you find it?
No, forget that. I missed it.
Oh,
so
boy.
I don't know. I have a mid-zack-and-night brain. I mistyped it. So.
Oh, and I don't even have this on the screen either. I was supposed to have this on the screen. I'm sorry. I'm not sharing my screen. Read Psalm 69. Oh, no. We'll read Psalm 22. That's the one that we would read. That's prophetic. We read Isaiah 53. It's by his stripes we are healed. That kind of stuff. You know, there's articles that have been written about Isaiah 53 also, if you don't know this. Isaiah 53 so closely resembles what Christ did in the crucifixion that there were people that said for years prior to the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls that this was redacted into the text. Somebody had redacted Isaiah 53 into the Bible.
Some of the attacks of Dead Sea Scrolls,
yes.
We have the evidence that they were written before Christ.
200 years before Christ, 300 years before Christ. So to say that they were redacted is you can no longer make that argument. That scholarship has just been thrown into the dumpster fire of hell. Okay.
May I throw in another kind of a shirk of Allah?
Go ahead.
It is called Shirkul Ismaul Hasana.
And the English translation for that?
The shirk of the holy names of Allah. I think that's the right translation, John.
It's so, the holy names or the holy titles of Allah in the Quran.
So Allah has 99 so-called holy names.
That they change.
Yes. And anyone who would call himself through that name, he is a mushrik and performing a shirk. Okay? And John Isaac already gave you one, Awwalu Akhir, that is a Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 8. They are actually two names. Revelation 22:13, Awwalu Akhir, they are two names of Allah. If you look at Revelation 1:8, one of the Allah's name is Al-Qadir. And that is what is Revelation 1:8 describes for Jesus. He is the Almighty.
So you want me to go to Revelation? Is that what you want?
Yes, sir. Revelation 1:8. Alpha and Omega is already done, so we can do that.
No, I'll go ahead and bring it up. Revelation. Wait a second. I thought I mentioned that. Yep. Right there. I am what? The first
Alpha.
And the last. Yes.
That's the Lord.
The Alpha and the Omega, right. And then in the Quran, it says what?
Who is Almighty? Read the next part as well.
Who is the next one. Okay, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Almighty means Al-Qadir. So if you go into Bible Hub and do the Arabic translation, you will see the word Al-Qadir, which is the name of Allah. So in Revelation 1:8, there are three titles of Allah right in one verse. So there are three titles of Allah, Al-Qadir, Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir. So there are three titles of Allah in one particular verse of Revelation. In 1 John 2:1, Yasul Al-Masih Al-Bar. Al-Bari is one of the titles of Allah as well.
2:1, and He is the propitiation for us. And
the Creator. That means the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what did you say? First John. What?
Albar. First John. First John 2:1. Verse number 1.
Okay.
2:1. Albar, not Bari. Albar, the righteous one.
Okay, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate,
Jesus Christ,
comforter.
Righteous.
Okay, okay. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Yep, right there.
Yes. Then Matthew 28:18 is saying that John is Sultan fi sama al ars. He is the Sultan of the heavens and the earth. Matthew 28:18.
28, going down.
18.
And Jesus said to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth.
If you look at the Arabic translation, it says, Kulli Sultani fi Samai wal Ars, wal Alal Ars. So he is the Sultan of the heavens and the earth. And then, Revelation 17:14, it says he is Rabbul Arbab, he is Lord of the Lords. I don't think you have to go over there as well, but that's another one. Revelation 17:14, he says Malakul Maluk. He is the King of Kings, which Allah says is his as much Malakul Maluk. So it's
Lord
one
of Lord,
the Allah's
King of Kings.
Well.
When we start looking at the names of Christ, there's that book. Where'd that book go? Right here. Here it is. Here's this book. Oops. Not the Bible on the floor. I get in trouble for that. Okay, this book right here, Putting Jesus in His Place. And when you look at this book, it talks about the five different areas in which we can clearly see that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And it's honors, attributes, names, deeds, and seat. And when we look at Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ shares the same name that God the Father shares in the Old Testament, Jesus shares in the New Testament. So when we start saying, oh, where Jesus say, I am God, worship me, that's actually a really simpleton question. It is a really shallow question, because when you look at all the honors, the type of honors that Jesus received as far as being worshiped and being glorified and having hymns and songs sang about him, when you look at all the attributes that he claims that he has, where is the eternality, pre-existing time, before Abraham was, I am, God glorify me with the same glory that I had with you before the world was. When you look at the names, Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings, if you look at the deeds, only the deeds that Jesus performs, God can perform. And look at the seat. Where does Jesus sit? He sits right next to God in heaven, in the seat of glory. So when you look at all these things and you say, well, where does Jesus say I'm God, worship me? It's stupid, because when you actually look at all the verses, I have almost 100 pages of these verses from this book that I've called out of here to clearly demonstrate that the New Testament teaches that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God incarnate, and Jesus shares all of these same things that God himself has. Okay, well, I see. All right, Steph, thanks for coming. We will see you Sunday. Don't be late. Okay, beware of bondage. Yes, it's a stupid indeed. It's right. Okay, does anybody have anything else that they want to get into? We can, let's see. Allah says he will raise the dead in Surah 22:7. Yeah, and who raised the dead? Jesus Christ. Thank you, Don, for pointing that out. Jesus says he will raise the dead in John 5:25-29. Okay, does anybody have anything else? Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there, Con. All right. Well, we can call it a night. It's only 6:00. I only used to do an hour show.
Oh, early. So basically, I have more if you want.
Well,
quite so that if somebody else wants to say anything.
No, everybody else is pleading the fifth, except for maybe Issa. Issa always has something to say, but he doesn't appear to be saying anything tonight. Go ahead, Adam.
So my conclusion statement would be that I can show more on this one. My office is not working, otherwise I can show my PowerPoint presentation where I have like 10 slides which are showing all these things. That Jesus was either committing shirk of shirkul ibadah and shirkul ismal hasana, which are called, which are two major type of shirks. Else, if he was not committing shirk, because if he is committing shirk, then he is the biggest sinner of all. And if he is not committing shirk, then what is happening? Then he is God. That's how simple it is.
Yeah, I think there's a quote. I think it was from, oh, not G.K. Chesterton, but C.S. Lewis. I think C.S. Lewis says that, you know, Jesus Christ, you can either deny he was a God or you can accept his God, but there isn't anything in between, because if he actually said that the things that he said and they weren't true, well, then he's a liar. If he actually thought the things that he said that he was, then he's a lunatic. But if he actually was what he said he was, then he is God. You can't have it in between. He's either a liar. You can't say that he's a liar. If he is a liar, then he's evil and he doesn't deserve our worship. If he says these things and didn't realize that he was saying them, and he's a lunatic and he's crazy and he just needs to go to the dustbin of history. But if he said these things that he said in the New Testament and they are true, then he deserves our worship. And that's what exactly we should be giving to him.
So this is my presentation where I actually extracted the things. So I will go it very fast because there are 10 names that he talked about.
Okay.
And let me just...
Okay, I put you up on the screen. Go ahead.
Okay, Al-Qadir. So Al-Qadir is one of the name of Allah. I have took that. This center line is the line where Allah's name or the title is. And Revelation 1:8 tells about him to be Al-Qadir, Allah Kulli, on everything. Awwal and Akhir. These are the two names of Allah. And I have shown that from extraction of the 99 names of Allah. Awwal and Akhir, I am the Alpha and Omega. It is in Revelation 20-13 as well, in 1-8 as well. Al-Bahr, the initiator, the natural events, above all, and then this is what 2-1 is saying. Sultan, so Sultan if is Samai wal Al Arz, Matthew 28-18. We go to Al-Hakim, Al-Adl, that's what we see in Revelation 19-11. Philippians 2:11, we see Jesus Christ as Lord, Al-Rab. If you see in the Arabic, it says Yesul Masih, Al-Rab, Al-Rab.
That's the Carmen Christi, yeah. That's a very important passage, Philippians 2. I think it starts in verse 2 up to 11. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is a very interesting passage because from the verse number 5, it tells why Jesus is coming down to earth. Why did he even... actually came. Yes, it's a very, very important question itself as well. But because I'm looking at just this particular instance, that is why this is...
Right,
this.
Yeah. All right. Yes, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No worries. Malik. So Malik is also in Revelation 17:14. An-Nur, light. So you will see him, An-Nur, in multiple locations, but this one is saying that he is the light of the world. Al-Hayy. And you will see that in Revelation 1:18, he is the living, he is alive forever. Ana Hai, and I am the life, you know. And then we'll see Al-Haq, he is the truth. Uh-huh. And you will see in John 14:6, he is Khalik. So through him, all things were created. That's you can see in Colossians 1:16. And then Al-Ghufar and Al-Ghafu. So you will see that in Matthew 9:2. And Matthew 9:6, he forgives sins and he has the authority to forgive sins. You see, absolute forgiver of sins. That's who he is. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he il Quddus, he is the Holy One. That is one of the very important title of Allah, because Allah said that nobody is holy except him. And that is why Allah used the word Ruhul Quddus. People, the Muslimin, actually says that Ruhul Quddus is Jibreel, which is a false translation, because Quddus cannot be other than Allah, because that's the name of Allah. So when the word in Arabic says Ruhul Quddus, so that actually is Allah, but they have to deny that. That's another topic in itself. Al-Muhayy, so John 6:33, that's what we are talking about, that he is the Hayal Alim. He gives, He is the life of the world, and he gives eternal life. Okay? The life giver. So Muhayyi is the giver of life. And then we see Al-Ba'is. That's what you can find in John 11:25. So Jesus Christ is the resurrector. Right? Anahul Qayyamu wal Haya. Right? He is the one who gives life. And these are the very, very important titles. And if somebody wants to have just a single screen, get all the titles, this is the one you can take a screenshot or ask me for this presentation later. So,
yep. Okay.
That's what Jesus
I'll
is.
Leave it up there for just another
okay,
minute.
Sorry.
No, no, put it full screen so people can see it. Okay. I wanted to go back over to Philippians, the Carmen Christi here, having this mind. And let me just put my screen up here. Let me add to stream. Is that how you do it? Yep. Okay. Having this mind, starting here in verse 5, have this mind in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, who existing in the form of God, counted it not being an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Here's where you have the incarnation, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man or men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. Oh, I thought he wasn't crucified. Gee whiz. A, the death of the cross. Whoops. The death of the what? The cross. Aladdin, I thought it was just his image. Wherefore, also, God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name. That, now watch this, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things where from now watch the every knee shall bow where everything in heaven and on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So every knee is going to bow in heaven and in earth. And you want to call him a prophet? You want to say that he was nothing more than a prophet? You just can't do that and still be honest with the text of the New Testament. You still can't do that and say, well, the New Testament does not say or does not teach that he was God. Simply a lie that you keep telling yourself, and you have to keep telling yourself this lie because the Quran, which is a demonstrably false book, when I say demonstrably false book, if you're watching this program, and we're getting more and more views every week, folks, you see the number of views we're getting. It's going through the roof. If you're watching the show and you want to have that debate, is the Quran from God? Is the Quran of the Word of God? I'll have that debate. I've asked it for years, and nobody. Here's generally the response that I get. I'll accept your debate, but we're also going to talk about the Bible. No, we sit here and talk about the Bible all day long. Defend the Quran, because every time you, and this is what where Adam would come in or John would come in perfectly. Every time that you start tearing into the Quran and you start pointing out all these things, the only avenue that they have is to run to the Bible and say, well, your book sucks worse than ours. And they cannot ever stay on topic. So whenever they say, well, we are going to also include, no, you're not, because that is the only thing that you would include. And that's the only thing that you would talk about if we did allow that in a debate. I watched this one night, and we critiqued it. We even critiqued it on this show where I think it was on Kenny Bomer's channel where he had Shabir Ali talking about something about the divine inspiration of the Quran and how perfect the Quran was. And then after Shabir got done talking, then they had like a discussion amongst themselves about talking about how great the Quran was. And they talked about, I swear to you, 95% of the things that they were talking about after that were about how bad much the Bible sucked. It was just like a knee-jerk response when you say that, well, the Quran has anachronisms in it. Yeah, but the Bible sucks. Well, the Quran is historically inaccurate. oh, yeah, but the Bible sucks. Well, the Quran has contradictions. Oh, yeah, well, the Bible, that's the only thing. They will never defend the Quran. And what's the mantra? Well, the Quran doesn't need to be defended, don't you know? It's from God. How do you know that? Well, the Quran says it's from God. Well, isn't that circular reasoning? Oh, shut up, Kaffir.
So, Eric, that's the problem in itself as well. And I have told many people, and I said that out loud, and I will say that out loud over here as well. Muhammad came 600 years later. It is Muhammad's job to prove his Quran, not to disprove Bible. You know why? Because Quran is coming with a different teaching. When Jesus came, he never disproved the Old Testament. So nobody has to go and say Old Testament is corrupt. Muhammad denied the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hence, first thing first, you have to prove that Quran is the true word of God. If you can prove that, then by default, Bible is corrupt. Then you don't even have to say anything. Then Bible is corrupt by default, because Bible and Quran goes into two different tangents. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
And by this same logic, if you want to, let's assume, you want to say Bible is corrupt, okay? Let's, for the sake of an argument, Bible is corrupt. How does that prove Quran? It does not. But only it does prove Quran if the Bible is corrupt. It does not prove Quran because Quran is coming 600 years later anyways, right? The only thing that can prove Quran is Quran. And it, by proving Quran, you are disproving Bible itself. You are striking one bird with two arrows. But the problem is that they cannot do that.
And the Quran doesn't even say that the Bible is corrupted either.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it says right here. Yeah, I'm just going to put this one verse out there, and then we can be done with that point. But, I mean, when people start saying, well, we know that Muhammad is a prophet because we find him in the Bible. Well, how do you know that you're going to find him in the Bible? Well, it says right here in this verse. 7:157. It says the those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, whom they find written in what they have of the Torah and the gospel. And it says that it, in what they have in their hands, what they have in their hands at that time. When is this? Well, this is what, 630, 628 or so. So when we look back at what the Torah and the gospels that we have, the manuscript evidence that we have from that time period, and we look at it and we go, oh, gee willikers, it's the same exact thing that we have today. So the same thing that we have today, when exactly was this corrupted? Where exactly is the corruption that demonstrates that the Quran is correct? And the Quran, number one, if he's appealing to a book that has been corrupted, what kind of God would do that?
Then Quran by itself is corrupt.
Exactly.
Corrupt book is talking about a book. So that means Quran is corrupt as well.
Yeah, why would you do that?
That's the problem.
And then when you appeal to this book and say it's the hands that – it says something about in the hands that you – is in your hands or something like that, out of that Arabic mess there. Is that right, John, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they possess in their hands.
Yeah, okay. So it's what they possess in their hands. So we know exactly what is in their hands. Oh, boy. Heaven.
That was 600 A.D., and we have Bibles of that era and 400 years prior.
Yeah.
So what we had way back when is still what we have now.
Well, yeah, and when we start saying, well, the Bible has been corrupted, well, if you're going to say that the Bible is corrupted and the reason why the Quran contradicts the Bible is because it was corrupted, well, if that's the case, then when we have to find a Bible that existed at that time period that contradicts what we have, or we can find a book that contradicts what we have. Oh, gee whiz, we do. The Quran contradicts what we have. So it makes zero sense. I wanted to comment on this Haven Bang. Where is Dr. Radical Moderate? See, this guy, he gets these sycophants, and I'm just kidding. You know, don't take this. He gets these people that follow him because the guy is absolutely nutso. Last I checked, Rad was out celebrating because in his home state of Illinois, they lifted this ban where you can only have so many people in restaurants or inside or something on those lines. So celebrating this evening and had no time for us lowlifes and dumbikins. All right, I'm going to cut it short, guys. We're going to be on here Sunday. Be sending me your ideas via Facebook on what you want to do for Sunday. I don't have anything in mind right now. And just like everybody else, John Isaac at the beginning of the program was, he wasn't scolding me. And because I asked him, I said, John, would you like to participate a little bit more? And he goes, can you let me know more than 5 minutes before the show what we're talking about? So I could do, so that makes perfectly good sense. So if you guys go ahead.
Eric, you cannot end the show for worse, and I want to say something.
Man. All right. And I was just looking at Issa. Look at Issa. Issa, show your face again.
He looks sexy.
Oh man, he cleans up nice. Issa, come on, show your face, dude. Look at this. Issa,
Issa, come out.
I was just looking, and he's shaved, and he's got his hair cut. It looks like looks like he's going in the army or something. Oh, he didn't get his hair cut. There we go. Hey, look at that, man. What a good looking fella.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, I'm not busting on you.
You.
Okay, where is it? Okay, there we go.
So, Quran by itself is saying that nobody can change his words because he is all-hearing and all-knowing. But Muslims have to twist this sentence and say that it is talking about only Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that he says his word. Okay? So it says la no mubaddil li kalimat. That nobody can change his words. So if Allah's word, somebody has.
I think Issa was having supper.
Issa, you can mute,
brother. Who's this? Okay, well maybe I'm missing something. Okay, go ahead. I'm not having lunch right now. I know that.
All right. So nobody can change the word of Allah. So either Allah was lying in Quran, or Bible and Torah were not the words of Allah, or they are unchanged. You see, this verse has only three possible outcomes. But if you look at Quran, there are multiple statements. I don't want to go over there at this moment, but multiple statements that Bible and Torah, they are all words of Allah given to the prophets at those times, right? So if those are the words of Allah, then nobody can change the word of Allah, or Allah was a liar, or those were not the words of Allah. That's a big, big problem in itself. We can also see that in 1064, this is 6115, we can see that in 1064 as well. It says, from them is good news in this worldly life and hereafter. There is no change in the promise of Allah. Why does it say, Tillah? I don't know why they did promise of Allah. It's not about promise. La tabdeel, they cannot change. Li kalimat, in the word. See? The word. Like, I hate these translations. Sometimes they are like so demonic that you can't even see. Pakhtal. Oh, Pakhtal is already enabled. I don't know why. Words of Allah. Right? Because li kalimat, that's the same word.
That's
kalimat.
What Pakhtal said. Because Pakhtal, from what I understand, is probably the best translation. Am I wrong on that?
It's quite close to the words in itself.
Okay, but they're not sugarcoating things like you would find maybe in the Sahih International or some other version.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Usama
Dakhtok is not a Muslim, so Muslims will not accept it. Pakhtal is a revert Muslim, basically, and that's why his translation is still accepted.
Okay,
that's the problem. Otherwise, Usama
Dakhtar. There you go. That's
Usama.
The book. Woohoo! And it's on ebook too.
So we can also see that in 1827, La Mubaddil li Kalimat. Nobody can change his words. No one can change his word. There is none who can change his words. So either Allah is lying or Muslims are lying. Like somebody is lying when they say that Torah and gospel.
But they have to say, Adam, you know just as well as I do, this is what they have to say, though. They have to invent this, Well, this is what we call a rescuing device. So they have to develop this in order to protect the contradictions that the Quran has with the New Testament. So they have to come up and say, okay, well, it'd be easier to, instead of trying to reconcile with the Quran, when the Quran contradicts the Bible, it would be easier just to say, well, the Bible has been corrupted. The Bible has too many variants in it, and the Quran has come to correct that. And it's easier to argue from that position than from the position of trying to reconcile the contradictions between the two and try to say, well, they're really not contradictory. They're it's the same exact thing, and they can't. And that's the problem.
Yeah, that's why I'm showing this. We are not supposed to go into defensive mode. We are supposed to go and show that your Quran is saying this. So Quran is saying this. This is 15:9. Allah said, "Lo, we revealed the reminder. Inna nahnu nazzalna zikr. We are the one who sent the reminder. We are its guardians, and we are its guardians." So what happens is, here in brackets, they add IE.
All right,
Quran.
Yeah, I see
it
that.
It does not say Quran.
Exactly.
Right? It says the reminder. So the first word was given to Adam, right? The first, because Adam was also a prophet, and Allah revealed some things to Adam as well. Then the second person was Abraham, who was given the book. And then Yaqub and all these kind of stuff. So everyone else received the reminder. Everyone, even Isa received the reminder. And there are multiple verses on that. But Allah said that He is the protector of reminder. Why do they actually have to put Quran in here? Because they have to. And that is why I showed you the other verses where Allah is saying, my word. Simply,
yeah, this
not
is
a reminder, my word.
No, this is the rescuing device, i.e. the Quran there. That's the rescuing device when it's not really there. You know just as well as I do that when you look at – anytime that you see something in parentheses or in brackets like that, that is an insertion and that is an interpretation in order to make the translation palatable to people who are ignorant of what the Quran – or what the Arabic says.
Exactly. And by the way, it's not even a reminder. It's a zikr. Zikr is talk. John, please translate the zikr in a proper English.
Yeah, it's a speech or
speech.
Words of God. And zikr is not always Quran. There is like, if you check now Surah 21, verse 105, you find zikr is a Torah. If you can bring it
exactly
to
multiple, yeah, there are multiple.
Hold on, I want to show something. Look at, I like.
Yeah.
Hold on, before, hold on, guys, hold on, guys, I just wanted to show something here. I like this animal guy here in the.
Oh, he's my subscriber.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. I like this. I like to deny, distract, divert, destroy, deceive.
Love you, animal.
5 D's. There you go.
They're all my subscribers.
Okay, maybe it's you that have all these sycophant followers. And Adam,
oh, yeah,
I don't know.
They follow me, man. They're awesome guys.
Well, they are. I mean, I'm sitting there reading their comments. Their comments are absolutely fabulous. Oh, who's this guy here?
This is your lover, man. Oh, Nim Grace is here as well. Hi, Nim.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Nim Grace has been here for a while. All right, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay, finish up, and we'll close with this, Adam. Go ahead.
Yeah, the hair is zikr as well. And you see here the zikr is word as mentioned. You know, they are so deceptive in translating these things. It is mentioning. It's the word, basically, but, like, it's mentioned. It's zikr. John, please carry on.
Yeah, it says we wrote in Psalms after zikr. What came before Psalm? Torah. Then a zikr here means the Torah. Should be translated, if we do like good translation, should be like the Torah.
Yeah, Zabur is
Psalm.
Here they are actually translating as scripture, whereas it is not scripture, it's Zabur, which is Psalm.
Yes. Psalm.
Oh, here, look, here, in the brackets, they actually translated it as Psalms, finally. It's the
But they didn't mention what is previous of Psalm. The
yeah,
previous of Psalm is Torah.
Exactly.
Then, when we see in Surah 15, verse 9, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, Zikr doesn't mean all the time Quran, it sometimes mean also Torah. Then Quran said, or confirmed the preservation of Torah.
That's the beauty. Like, Quran doesn't deny it.
Well, it's almost like they were making it up. as they were going along. He hears the Torah, he hears about the Psalms, he hears about the gospel. But does it, I know I'm going to hang myself. I want to go, but let me ask a question. Are any of the other books of the Bible ever mentioned in the Quran? The Psalms, the Torah, and the Gospels. Is any of the other books ever mentioned?
So names are not mentioned, but the prophets are mentioned.
Okay.
So if you look at, so that's the problem. You need to ask Muslims a question, what is the name of these books? Quran chapter number 6, verse number 82 to 89. So it tells you, even the Lut has the book, by the way.
Lot, right, yeah.
Lot. So we gave to Abraham and his folks. Then we gave to Isaac and Jacob, to Noah. We guided to David, to Solomon, to Job, to Joseph, to Moses, to Aaron. Okay, so multiple prophet names. To John, to Jesus, to Elias. Elias. How do we? What is the English name of Elias? Can somebody remind me?
Elijah.
That is Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Is it Isaiah?
Yeah.
Okay. And here's here's one of the things that DL did on Sunday that I just thought was just...
Let me finish, brother. Hold on.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you short because I need to go to the book first. To Elias, to Isaiah, to John, to Lot. So you have Luta as well. Okay? And then, and with some of their forefathers, so Allah is not mentioning that these are the major names, 24 names, then to some of their forefathers and some of their offsprings. So Allah is saying some of their forefathers and some of their offsprings as well, I haven't mentioned. Okay? Then what did you do? Allah do to all of them? Allah gave them the hadaya, the guidance. And then Allah said, to these people, I gave the scripture, no, book. Ulaik allazina ataynahum, I gave ataynahum, I delivered, I revealed the book, al-kitab, and nabuwa, and the prophethood. So all of these people, including some of their offspring and some of their forefathers, Allah gave the book with hikmah and nabuwa and prophethood. So there you go. You have like 20 plus prophets with their children and their forefathers with books. So the all Old Testament covered over here. So that's your answer whenever somebody asks you.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I mention that.
You were not even showing my screen, man. I was showing the whole screen and I was reading through the screen. You're so bad.
Online, okay, sorry. I thought you were paying attention. You were just reading. All right, I'm sorry. I was listening, but I guess I didn't realize you were trying to show it on your screen. I wanted to something up
here. Can I give a correction here? I said it from his. It's whole for Isaiah. Let me get back to it. They translate as Isaiah. It's D-H-U-L and then hyphen K-I-F-L. Whole Kifel is Isaiah. So I wanted to correct myself there.
Okay.
Okay. But I don't know who it is. Sorry.
This is in 2185. They say, and remember Ishmael and Idris. Okay, Idris, they say, is Enoch. That's who you had asked. And then it says, and Huldif, they have in parentheses Isaiah, all were from among Sabirin.
Sabirin.
Yeah, the patient ones. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, Idris, and I don't know, Dalkifli, I don't know what Dalkifli is, so...
Well, this
is
what
they have, at least in that translation. That's I think the translation is Mohan is Khan Mohan Mohsen.
Mohsen Khan.
Yes, that's his translation. So he has in parentheses Isaiah.
Let's see what Muhammad Hijab said. Okay, yeah, he said Isaiah. What did Muhammad Hijab said? With the commission.
With the commission.
Ezekiel.
All right, let me jump over here, guys. I want to bring up one more thing, and then we can go. Let's see. Let me bring this up. Now, on Sunday, when we were talking about, you know, obeying all of the – and this is why I asked, does the Quran mention any of the books of the Bible specifically? And the only one that I was seeing here was the Book of Psalm. but it does mention prophets. But it doesn't mention in the argument from Dali, she's a frequent guest on our Sunday show, was that Muslims are required to be obedient and believe all of the prophets. And what DL did is he walked her right into a wall here. He took her to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and we were talking about, you know, why should I become a Muslim? And, you know, well, because the Quran is true, don't you know? And then you go, well, the crucifixion is a demonstrable fact of history. And then we start saying, well, chosen the doctor right on the wall here, too, because she said 70 weeks are decreed. And then it said that he will be cut off. And I don't see that on here, but it was right in here where she told her that. And I'm saying, if you say that you believe in all the prophets, if you believe in all of them, and Daniel was a prophet. I mean, his book is in all of the, I mean, it's in the Dead Sea Scrolls, so it's been around for at least, 2,000 years, and they've considered it canonical. So the bottom line, I guess we could say, is that when we're given the argument that the Quran is does not contradict or does not, what was the argument we were using? The Quran does not teach that the Bible was corrupted and is supposed to confirm the Bible. We can clearly show that. But when you try to go with this mantra that the Bible has been corrupted and the Quran has come to correct it, you can't demonstrate that using the Quran. You have to use it using mantras, cliches, dawah. All right, now we are over time. Way to go. 6:32. Okay, does anybody else have anything to add to that? Darcy, you're in our prayers. I hope your treatment started well. Was it yesterday you were supposed to start those treatments? We pray that it went well. Everybody else that came, this animal guy, I really like him. Then we got Beware of Bondage. I mean, what kind of name is that? Beware of Bondage. I mean, that sounds a little scary. But, I mean, he's posting all these great things in here. And then Asana came. Thank you for coming, Asana. Who else do we got here?
Islam is bondage, so beware of bondage.
Okay, so I'm not scared of the guy anymore. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we got Don was here. Don was all over it. We had Stephanie here tonight. Who else did we have here? I'm going to miss something. Nim Grace was here. Thank you, Nim, for coming. And I think that was, oh boy, we had all kinds of, my phone's going to get blown up tonight. I just know it. Frank Kahn, thank you for coming. I know it was your first time with us tonight, and we appreciate you. Adam and John, it's always a privilege to have you here. Thank you for all the information that you guys are able to provide. Isa, you're always fun to have here, and we appreciate all that you bring. And who else did we have here? We had the Radical Moderate was here, and then we had, of course, DL, who was taking the fifth once again because
he's at work. I've been on your show before, Eric.
Have you?
Yes, as Frank Kahn. Uh-huh. You forgot me.
I did, and I'm sorry for that.
He's getting old.
I'm there, brother. I got a case of OLD. Was it when we were doing Zoom? When we were doing Zoom show?
No, I think this was like right before Christmas.
Yeah, yes, it was once when you were doing Zoom before streaming.
Okay, so, okay. All right, well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Okay, well, I'm not as bad as our president. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
I got that out of my system, and I feel pretty good about myself tonight. All right, everybody, thank you for coming.
He looks like a lady right now.
No, he looks good. He looks like he's your all American boy here. All right, God bless.
Gentlemen, yeah. Does he have anything to say?
Isa would be talking us to death, I think. But, you know, sometimes we get him here on Tuesday nights and he's in class. So I'm thinking maybe he's in class tonight or he was on a break because he was trying to get in here. I was either last week or the week before, and we were doing his subject which I can't remember exactly what it was. I can't remember what it was, but he was in class and he goes, "Oh, well, I'm on a break now." And I was like, "Disa, this is your show, dude." But he's probably in class again tonight. All right. God bless you guys. We will see you next week on Radio Freak if you're sent, or send me those ideas for Sunday for the cross or for the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. We'll see y'all then. God bless.
Thank you, guys.
God bless.
God bless. All right. Ended. Let me jump over to Blog Talk Radio. Where they say goodbye. What is going on here? Did I lose all that too?
Okay. I say bye. I'll think about some subjects and send you.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that, John.
Yeah.
Because, with everything else going on,